My name is Sten. I am the pastor here, and honestly, it is really good to be back with you here at MidCurrent. If you were here for the first time over the last 2 weeks when I was not here, let me say welcome to you. Sorry I wasn't able to meet you then. I would honestly love to meet you today after the service. If you are new today, this is your first time tuning in online or your first time here in person with us at Camp St. Croix, let me also say an extra special welcome to you. We are just thrilled that you would be here with us. And honestly, as Haley mentioned, this is a great day to be here with us because we are starting a brand new message series, which I am really excited about, and it is called Unmasked. Okay, now I have a hunch that right now, half of you in the room are saying to yourself, yes, it is about time that somebody said that we can finally take these things off. And the other half of you in the room today are going, whoa, 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 whoa. Way too soon to be suggesting something like that right now, Sten. Okay, none of this is lost on me, but here's the deal. I'm not suggesting either option in this series. I'm not even talking about these face masks that we have been wearing for like almost a year now. Since about March, yes, we've been wearing face coverings and face masks, and it's all anyone can talk about, right? Are they good? Are they bad? Do they help? Do they hurt? Should we? Shouldn't we? When? Where? How? Which kind? Is it legal? Is it not legal? And the list goes on. But in the next 4 weeks, I don't plan on picking up on any of that conversation. Instead, what I would suggest to you is that we, and that's all of us, all of mankind, all of humanity, I would suggest that we have actually been wearing a different kind of mask, right? One way or another, we've been wearing different kinds of masks for a lot longer than 10 months. Some of us maybe are our entire lives. We've been wearing a different kind of mask, and I would argue that they are for sure, no debate about this one, doing a whole lot more damage than we realize, okay? But these masks that I'm talking about and that I wanna be talking about in this series, they're not physical ones, they're not cloth, they're not hospital grade, they're not N95 or whatever the ones that you're supposed to be wearing these days. They're not any of those that I wanna be talking about. Not those kind of masks, right? Instead, I want to be talking about the emotional ones, right? Or maybe the social ones, or the spiritual ones, or the relational ones that are made up of attitudes and behaviors and postures and personalities and facades that we use to cover up parts of ourselves that we would really rather other people just not know about. And so over the next 4 weeks, I want to suggest for all of us here at MidCurrent that for our own benefit and for the benefit of this community as a whole and for everyone who is a part of it now and for anyone who will ever be a part of it in the future, what I want to suggest is that now is the time to step out from behind those kind of masks, those spiritual, or relational, or social, or whatever kind. Now is the time to step out from behind those kind of masks and to start to trust God with who we really are. See, I would say that we put on these kind of masks or these kind of appearances or these kind of facades to protect ourselves, but they are actually just prohibiting ourselves, right? They just prohibit us from experiencing the kind of relationship with God and with others that I think we were designed for and that ultimately I think deep down inside every one of us is longing for. And so I would say, man, we just cannot wait any longer to begin this process of unmasking ourselves once and for all. It's something I really want for us as a community. Now, before we begin this this journey or this process of kind of removing these masks or stepping out from behind these masks, I think we have to understand why it is that we ever put them on in the first place, why it is that we feel the need to cover ourselves or cover parts of us that we don't want other people to see. And so that really is what I want us to discover today. Why it is we put these on in the first place. I want to see with the time we have today, if we can get to the root of this kind of masking up that I am talking about. And so what I want to do today is I want to actually look at the very first time ever that mankind masked up. Because at that moment, I think that mask wearing was hardwired into our DNA. And we read about this moment in the book of Genesis chapter 3. We're going all the way back to the beginning. And so before we get there to Genesis chapter 3, let me just get you up to speed on what has happened prior. What exactly has led to this kind of humanity altering moment. Genesis 1 and 2, they tell the story of creation, right? God created light and he separated it from the darkness. He created land, sea, and sky, and the plants and the trees and the fish and the birds and the animals. Okay, and then he created human beings. And at this moment, he actually breathed his character and his likeness into mankind, right? This is why we refer to this idea that we were created in God's image, which if I could just step aside here with a quick side note, this idea of being created in God's image, it's exactly why Christians don't have a monopoly on doing good in the world or being good people, right? Many people in the world today will claim, I would say rightly so, that they don't have to be a follower of Jesus or to even believe in God to do good in the world. And I would actually wholeheartedly agree with them. But I would point them to the book of Genesis as to the reason why, right? It's because they were created in God's image. Their heart beats, right? No matter who you are, where you've been, right? If you're saying, hey, I don't need to believe in Jesus to do good in the world, I say, hey, you're right. But your heart beats to do good in the world because God's heart beats to do good in the world. And you or anyone who might say that was created to be like him. Okay, so that's a little tangent over, right? That's just a freebie today. I can't help but talk about this idea that we are created in God's image anytime we talk about creation. So that's just a little tangent. I want to get back to where I left off, which is the creation story, okay? God created man and woman, and he gave them authority over all that he had just created, but he really just had one rule for them to obey. Gave them authority over everything that had just been created on earth with one rule for them to obey. Do not eat yellow snow. No, that's not it. He didn't say yellow snow. Let me get this straight here. He told them, this is all yours. Just do not eat the fruit from this one tree. Okay? And I'm going to guess that regardless of how much time you've spent in church, you know how this story ends. They eat the fruit from the tree that God told them not to. And so that's actually where I want to pick up in this story. They ate the fruit, and then here's what it says next in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 7. It says, then the eyes of both of them, Adam and Eve, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Okay, one translation that I really love actually communicates kind of like the suddenness of all this by saying, at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they felt the shame, it says, of their nakedness. So what did they do? Let's pick up on the rest of this verse. It says, so they sewed fig leaves together and made what? Coverings for themselves, okay? In a way, it reminds me of my favorite joke, okay? Why did the traffic light turn red? Because you would too if you had to change in front of all those people, right? Ain't nobody want to be naked in public, okay? And this is the moment when Adam and Eve realized, whoa, we're naked. And they did not like that feeling. Let's keep reading verse 8. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Okay, they heard the sound. What's interesting to me is that the Hebrew word for sound, they heard the sound of the Lord God. The Hebrew word for sound is the word call, which also means voice, okay? As in they heard the voice of God. In this same expression, it's used elsewhere in the Old Testament with other kind of grammatical combinations to express the Lord's kind of call for obedience on his people's lives. And it's a reminder of the single requirement for obtaining God's blessing, right? Not being a good person, right? But obedience to the voice of God. So I think the use of this phrase here is hinting at something. Adam and Eve weren't just like startled at the unexpected rustling sound in the leaves or in the trees as if God was sneaking up on them. I think they heard the sound or the voice of God, and they knew he was calling for obedience. And they said, uh-oh, I think we blew it. And look how they responded. It says, and they hid. Okay? They heard the sound. They heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man. Pay attention. Remember this question. He called to the man. He called to Adam. Where are you? Where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. See, this is, I think, where it all began, okay? The first ever mask-wearing man and woman. They felt ashamed and embarrassed and a little vulnerable and a little exposed, they felt all of this in response to what they had done. And so they hid and they made coverings for themselves. And I would argue that mankind, you and me, have been hiding in one way or another. We have been hiding ever since. We've gotten really good at making coverings and masks and elaborate facades, right? Pretending to be something or someone different than who we really are, right? In an effort to impress God or to impress people who actually don't really care because their biggest concern is hiding their true selves from us as well, right? If we could just be honest for a moment, I think we could all admit we're all hiding somehow. Hiding somewhere, hiding something. We're all a little bit unsure that we can let God see or that we can let others in our lives see who it is that we really are. All a little unsure that we can let others see, behind the curtain, right? And if we boil it down, I would suggest that we hide and that we cover and that we pretend because of two automatic responses that trigger inside of us. Those two automatic responses are guilt and hurt, okay? When we have done something wrong, we wouldn't call that sin, right? When we have sinned against God or sinned against someone else, our automatic response is a feeling of guilt. On the other hand, if some wrong has been done to us, we might say someone has sinned against us, our automatic response inside is hurt. Okay, God has designed these two responses to tell us, to alert us that something wrong has happened, right? That there has been some kind of fracture, some kind of brokenness that needs attention, and most of all, that needs healing. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to work to produce these two types of responses to sin or to wrongdoing in our lives. They are involuntary and they are just instinctive responses inside of each of us. And here's the deal. Many of us, maybe most of us, we don't even have the slightest clue as to what to do when these internal feelings and responses fire in us. No idea what to do when we feel that inside. In fact, if we're honest, I think we would admit that it's terrifying, right? To feel this feeling of guilt or hurt, right? It's scary and it's vulnerable. And like Adam, we feel naked and we feel ashamed or we feel exposed and we feel vulnerable. And so what do we try to do? We try to override our guilt or we try to override our hurt by just covering it up or pretending or hiding behind an appearance. And at the moment, it feels like preservation, but I think that single choice to cover up will inevitably make life confusing, twisted, and dark in a hurry. And it will unleash a whole new depth of pain and inner turmoil and inner unrest and a whole lot more mask wearing. All right, we hide. And according to a trio of authors who wrote a really great book that I've been reading called True Faced, I would suggest that mask wearers, right? Those of us who are mask wearers, and I would suggest that's all of us, right? Mask wearers typically fall into three categories. And I want to explore them a little bit today just to see if any of these might ring true for you. The first category, I think, is comprised of those who are living in the land of, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay? We're constantly surrounded today by kind of nicely scrubbed, polite, professional people who will smile big and always shake your hand firmly in conversation. And most times this is two people in conversation, two people shaking hands, each one trying to convince the other that everything is fine. These conversations, if you'll allow me to have a little bit of fun, these kind of conversations sound like this. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. John, thanks for asking. How about you? Oh, Jim, I'm doing just fine. It's a fine day, isn't it? Oh, it's fine indeed, right? Couldn't be any finer. Say, how's your wife, by the way, John? Oh, she's fine too. Whole family's doing fine. But did you hear about the Rileys? I heard they're not doing fine. And I only tell you that so that you can know how to pray for them best. I hope that's fine with you. Oh, that's fine with me. Thanks for letting me know. At least we're all doing fine. Yep. Doing fine. Everybody's fine. We're fine. I'm fine. You're fine. Everybody's fine. Okay, now I'm exaggerating slightly, but truthfully, right, I think a conversation like this is not all that foreign to most of you. And what I want to say to, I think somebody specifically here today, maybe watching online, what I want to say to you is that maybe now, that the time has come to simply acknowledge the truth, that maybe for the first time you could admit, maybe you're not fine. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're feeling guilty. Maybe you're confused, or maybe you're frightened, or maybe you're unsure. Okay? The trouble is you've convinced yourself after a while that there is really no help. There's really no hope for whatever issue you're experiencing, right? You've convinced yourself that there's really no hope for this. And so the next best thing is to just what? Hide yourself and tell people in your life, I'm doing fine. Nothing to see here. Nothing to be worried about. And that might be fine for a while. But I think if you're honest right now, you could admit, man, I'm tired. Really, really tired of keeping up this act and being someone that I'm not. Now is the time to take off the mask that broadcasts to everybody who comes in contact with you. I'm doing fine. Maybe now's the time to take off that mask. Here's the second category of people who I think turn to mask wearing. It's those still searching, those always searching for the next new thing, right? People who operate in this world, they'll go from book to book, right? Seminar to seminar, podcast to podcast, maybe even church to church, looking for the latest and the greatest promise of progress or of growth or of change or improvement, right? And in many ways, people who exist in this world would admit, they would be honest about it. They're not doing fine. They would admit that life maybe isn't necessarily working and they want to do something about it, but rather maybe than confront some unresolved, fracture inside that needs attention, that needs healing, right? Maybe rather than paying attention to some unresolved sin as a result of something that they've done or something that's been done to them maybe long ago, they're looking for something just to kind of add or to just insert into their life that will fix them without much pain and without much change really required on their part, right? And so I think people in this world are convinced that there's answers out there, there is help out there, but they start to realize they're not finding them and they're devastated when they can't discover them. Okay, and when the new podcast or the new book or the new seminar or when the new church doesn't help, then they begin to think, what's wrong with me? Why is nothing working? Others seem to figure this stuff out. Why am I not changing? Why am I not experiencing the life that I'm supposed to be experiencing? And then that naked feeling starts to sink in. And nobody likes that feeling, and nobody knows to deal with that feeling. So what do those of us in this place do next? We hide, right? We continue to bluff and to fashion the type of mask or the type of appearance that won't allow anyone to see the hole that we think maybe exists inside of us somewhere. And so we put on a great smile and we keep up the best appearance on the outside that we can, but we still continue to hide. At this point, I would say that there are maybe some of you in the room who are thinking to yourself about this last group of people. Man, what's wrong with those people? Like, why can't they get their act together? Why can't they get their stuff together? Okay? And if any of you are maybe thinking that to yourself right now, perhaps it's because you might be a part of this very next group. This is the group of people who live in or strive to live in the world of perfection, okay? Right, those who live in this world are the people that've got it all together. Man, this is like the postcard family, well-cultured, well-educated, well-dressed, well-spoken, well-accomplished, house, spouse, kids, family, career, all picture perfect, no messes, everything just kind of slides off, nothing ever sticks, right, to these people. Everything's always up and to the right. There's no needs. Really, right? Very little anyone else could teach you or do for you, right? Not extremely vulnerable because there's really no need to be vulnerable. It's pretty self-sufficient, right? These people may intimidate others, but deep down inside, they know it's just because other people are jealous. Okay? You're going, man, if they had my self-discipline, my self-determination, they wouldn't have to be so intimidated. Okay, but what I think is most interesting about people in this camp is that I think when the reality is that they either one that they just deny or they're just not even aware of the fact that they still too are wearing a mask of perfection to hide something. Okay, but here's the humbling truth, right? Those who know you best, they wish they could tell you the truth. The resume is incredibly impressive, but the mask is visible from a mile away. And they wish they could tell you that they actually long to somehow get past it so they could start to get to know more of who you really are. So I don't know if any of those prove to be true for you right now. Maybe so. Maybe it's close or something just a little bit different. These are just some general categories, I think, of things and ways of life that result in us turning to covering up and to mask wearing. There might be others, but no matter what mask it is that you and I are wearing, no matter what it is or no matter why we're wearing it, I think here's what's true about us all. Here's what's true about the masks that we wear. The masks we wear are simply external proof of an internal infection, right? The social and the emotional and the spiritual and the relational masks and facades and appearances that we put on, that they are just outer proof of inner turmoil and inner unrest. Right? Hiding and covering up and putting up false fronts is just evidence, I think, of the fact that there is something maybe buried so deep down that we just don't even think about it anymore. But I think it's all evidence that the facades that we put up, it's all evidence that something somewhere is unresolved. Right? There would be no need to hide behind an appearance if there wasn't something that we wanted to protect. If there wasn't something broken or something fractured or something unresolved or something embarrassing or something vulnerable within that we wanted to kind of keep to ourselves. And so here's what I want to say as this new series begins. Here's what I want to say to all of us as a church, as a community. I think it's time to unmask and to expose this dark dynamic inside all of us that compels us to fashion a mask or a covering or a facade or some kind of other appearance when we feel naked and afraid of what others might see. I think now is the time for us to begin the process of stepping out from behind these appearances that we put up. And here's why this matters. Here's why I think this is actually time sensitive for us all. Here's why I don't think that really any of us can choose to ignore this. Because I truly believe that every person here is experiencing, you know, somewhere, somehow, the guilt or the hurt that results from sin. Maybe something that you have done or something that has been done to you. I believe that there is some part of every single one of us here today that has been fractured, that it's been broken, and it's in need of healing, and it's in need of some attention, and it's actually just preventing us from experiencing the fullness of life that we really long for. And when I look really closely at the story of Adam and Eve that we read from, hiding in the garden, here's what I think I realize about the things that we try to cover up, right? God can't heal what we hide. I think there's some part of all of us that we need to pay attention to, something unresolved inside of all of us that needs some bit of healing. And the reality is God can't heal what we hide. God can't bring healing to the things that we just keep hiding. Right? As long as we keep hiding, God can't start healing. God cannot help us until we trust him with who we really are. Until we step out of hiding, we step out of the darkness, we step out from behind the masks that we wear, or until we answer, I think, the question that he is asking all of us. Do you remember this question he asked Adam? He said, "Where are you, Adam?" And if we keep on reading, he even goes on to say, "What have you done? Where are you? What have you done?" Right? These are interesting questions to me coming from God, right? As if he doesn't know, right? Nobody's going to be fooling God, right? So it's an interesting question. Why would God ask, "Where are you?" Right? I think biblical scholars help me understand a little bit more of what's going on. One scholar indicates that these questions, "Who are you? What have you done?" they resemble those kind of questions of a court proceeding, similar to what we would actually read in later parts of Genesis, just another chapter or two away. And I started thinking about the idea of a court proceedings and the questions that are asked. If a judge in a courtroom asks these same kind of questions of a defendant, I don't think it's because a judge doesn't know why he's there that day, right? I don't think a judge shows up to any kind of hearing or court proceeding not knowing what he or she is ruling on. Right? But I think a judge wants to make sure that any defendant knows precisely why they are in the position they are in. I think a judge wants to hear the person being asked. I think you want to hear him say it out loud because I think it's the only way to really move forward. And I can't help but think that the same is true with God and Adam here in the garden. I don't think God is legitimately wondering, like, "Adam, where did you go, you stink?" Like, he's not fooled. He doesn't really need to know, but I think he wants to hear Adam say it out loud. I think he wants him on his own to come out of where it is he's hiding from. I think he wants to hear him say it out loud. "I was afraid, and so I hid." He wants him to step out of hiding. Why? Why would God want Adam to do this, to admit to this? Because I think the truth is that God can't heal it if we keep hiding it. And I think there are some things in our lives that need healing. And God can't heal it if we hide it, right? The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, I think he even warned God's people of this long ago. He warned people of this very same thing when he spoke to God's people on God's behalf. Look what he said actually in Isaiah 29. He says, "Woe to those," and just in case that phrase sounds a little foreign to you, woe to those, it's not a good thing. It's like, ew, hey, heads up, right? This isn't looking good, okay? "Woe to those who go to great depths," to what? "To hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will even know?'" See, I think we hide thinking to ourselves that we're fooling God and that we're maybe fooling others. And I think we hide thinking we're protecting ourselves. But I would argue that we're not fooling anyone. We're not fooling God. We're not fooling others around us. And we're actually only hurting ourselves in the end, hurting ourselves in the long run. And so I'm praying big over the next 4 weeks that all of us together at Midcurrent Church, those of us a part of this community, I'm praying big over the next 4 weeks and three after this today that we can begin the process together here at this place, that we can begin the process of unmasking ourselves, of stepping out of hiding and starting to trust God with who we really are. We'll talk about what it means to trust others with who we really are, but I just want us to begin today, this week, to begin the process of stepping out from hiding and starting to trust God with who it is that we really are. Saying, hey, here I am, God. You know, I was afraid. I was ashamed. I felt a little guilty. I was hurt. I was embarrassed. I felt vulnerable, and so I hid. But I don't want to be hiding anymore. Because what I'm hiding is only hindering the life that I want to be living. I'm praying that more and more of us would be at that place as we begin this journey together, saying, I don't want to be hiding anymore. Hiding is only hindering the life that I want to be living. So as I close today, let me just ask you a question to consider this week as this series really begins. Where have you been hiding? What have you been hiding? What is it that you have been hiding behind? Right? Is there something, anything from last week or from last decade that needs your attention, that's unresolved, that's fractured, that's broken, that is maybe in need of some kind of healing? And maybe the biggest question is this: if you're really ready, if you're really longing for healing, if you're really longing for growth and longing to be experiencing something more, something deeper in life, here's the question to consider this week. Would you trust whatever it is that you are hiding to God, right? The one who created who it is that you really are, to reflect who God really is. This week, would you have the courage to trust God with who it is that you really are? Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this chance to be here today, to be together, to come and to sit side by side, shoulder to shoulder with people who are on this journey together at various stages, God. We're at all different places along the map, God. And so I'm just grateful if there's a time and a place that we can come and to be together in the same spot. God, and I just know that this kind of hiding, this kind of masking thing that we do, it's not specific to Midcurrent. It's not specific to one area, one place in this country or this world, God. I think that we have all just learned long ago how to hide, how to cover up, how to pretend to be someone that we're not in order to protect something that feels vulnerable inside. And God, I'm just praying that this place here, I mean, if it doesn't exist anywhere else right now in the places that we exist, God, I'm praying that it would exist here at Midcurrent, that this would be a place when we can come through the doors, when we can come to one another, and most of all, God, that we can come to you exactly how we are. Knowing that there's no reason to hide, there's no reason to pretend, there's no reason to put up some kind of appearance that really is not who we are. So God, I'm praying that all of us this week might have the courage, might have the boldness and the bravery somehow, some way to step out of hiding and to come to you fully, God, trusting you with who it is that we really are. Hurts, scars, habits, hang-ups, whatever it might be, God, that we feel like we need to protect, I pray that we would have the courage and the boldness and the bravery to bring it all to you, to bring it into the light, to bring it out of hiding, to bring it out of the darkness so that you can really begin the healing that we need and that we may desire deep down inside. God, most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, who makes it possible for us to come to you broken, fractured, imperfect. We give you thanks for the work that he did on the cross so that we would have access to you completely uninhibited and unhindered, God. We give you thanks for that gift, and we give you thanks for this chance to be here together this morning. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, we're really glad that you could be here today. It is always fun to join together here at Camp St. Croix or online if you're tuning in today as well. We hope you have a great rest of this Sunday, and we really, really, really look forward to seeing you back here for week number 2 of this series, Unmasked. God bless you.